This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
What if Sunday nights could time travel? Well, Friends of Dorothy returns to 1984. In Sydney, not for nostalgia's sake, but to ask cheeky, confronting questions about how we found each other before swipes, how we looked after our health before hot takes, and why finding yourself sometimes meant walking into a room that felt perhaps a little culty. Well, season two drops this Sunday on Joy, and with us is the show's creator, writer, and director, David Rector. David, welcome back to Drive.
Thank you so much, Warren. Thank you for having me back.
Now, we're going to start with no spoilers, but for people gasping after Sunday's episode 12 cliffhanger, what new emotional territory are we stepping into in season two?
Yeah, well, for me, it was very much about wanting to have each character re-examine their life, their choices, where they're going. And so, yeah, I really wanted to put all the characters well out of their comfort zone, and me included.
Now, let's talk about, I suppose, dating then versus dating now. One storyline has a character meeting dates from a newspaper classified ad. I have to confess, I've done that in the past. What surprised you, David, revisiting that world, and what could potentially a 2025 app data learn from that?
Yeah, it was actually really funny. It was really funny revisiting it because it's a long, long time ago for me. So, yeah, just it was like, I don't think people could comprehend, which is why I'm really glad to be able to speak of it, that when you hear it, it's not going to be for a few episodes, but that's the snail's pace of it compared to now. Everything is instantaneous. Don't like, swipe, don't, you know, stuff is just so quick, whereas back in the day, it would literally see an ad in a paper, in a magazine, handwrite a letter, put it in an envelope. You used to get two for $5 and put them in another envelope, self-addressed, send it off, and you'd wait. So I met a lot of people. A lot of people at that time. It was a way to meet people. It was crazy. But lots of fun.
Do you remember, David, that sort of heart flutter when you'd actually meet someone? You'd say, you know what, okay, we haven't spoken to each other, but we're going to physically meet at a cafe or something like that. Did you ever have that feeling? I remember going and then running away and then having to
You're the one.
The nerves.
Those blind dates were, they were heart starters. Sometimes, of course, they'd be preempted with a phone call first, which actually wasn't always a help. It could have been a hindrance because then the expectation of who you were meeting, like suddenly you had a picture in your head of who you were meeting, and then you met the person, you went, oh, God, you're nothing like you sounded or you wrote. So, yeah, it's such a bizarre thing to do. I had a lot of funny experiences, and I've tried to weave a couple of not – exactly, but I've tried to weave them into the script.
Fantastic. And I suppose a lot of your personal stories do make it into the script. Is there a personal story that is in season two that perhaps you hesitated to put in because you're a bit nervous about?
All of them. Look, the first episode of the second series, which drops on Sunday night, is a tough one because there's a lot of heavy cliffhangers. You know, I was a real nasty writer, director to end a series with such calamity or potential calamity. I've got to be very careful, Warren, with spoilers. So just beat me out if I say something. Have you got a delay? Do we have a delay? No, we don't have
a delay. No, we don't have a delay.
This is live, yep. Look, you know, the queer experience is not all fun and games and roses. You know, I don't think anybody would expect a sitcom that's queer-focused set in the 80s would be that. So there's some tough stuff in this first episode coming up on Sunday, But I really encourage viewers, fans of the show, of the characters, to stick with it. In answer to your question, which I will come to, is there's a lot of my own experience littered through it, and I think that's what motivated me to do a second series, also because I had to wrap up all the cliffhangers. But, yeah, I think the sheer fright or the sheer horror of some of the things that we as a community experienced in the 70s and 80s, I was a bit aware of, like, I don't want to frighten people. I want other, I guess I want to engender more compassion for one another. Mm. Doesn't matter what age that we are, what generation that we belong to. You know, our queer experience is united in that way, through experiences.
Absolutely. You're on Joy Drive, and I'm chatting with David Rector about the Season 2 launch of Friends of Dorothy, which is back this Sunday on Joy, and we're talking dating before the apps. Let's move on to also sexual health. I want to talk about that because you just mentioned that it was a difficult time in the early 80s, and I remember it quite clearly, and it was very difficult, very traumatic for many people in the community. How does Season 2 handle those safer sex conversations of the time when sex became more about fear rather than pleasure?
Yeah. Look, I couldn't not do a second series set in 1984 and not have an HIV AIDS storyline, and I'm not going to give anything further away much because part of my experience, my history that I have included in the series is one of the characters calls a helpline, and I both called a helpline and worked on one of the helplines back in the 80s. And so we were all at sea. We really didn't know what to do. The information was so fragmented, and there was so much fear in the media amongst ourselves in terms of how to help each other, how to help other people in the community. So I wanted to brush it in the series. I don't delve into it in great depth. Again, that's the hard thing about being a sitcom and then, you know, tackling heavy subjects with the right tone. But enough to say that certainly it does impact more than one of the five characters.
And we'll have to watch to find out how they are impacted. Now, two of the characters, I think, dive into spiritual or self-help scenes. What drew you to that? And I suppose, you know, what echoes do you hear now in the age of podcasts and social media and self-help?
Yeah, look, I absolutely plumbed my experience. I didn't join a cult, but I got very close to one. And another experience I had that I felt, certainly in hindsight, was kind of cultish. So in fairness, I've given those two things to two different characters, kind of like I did in the first series. One of them was a sleepwalker and one of them was a sleep talker. I didn't give them both the same eccentricity, even though I was a sleepwalker and talker. It's nicer to farm out these things to the different characters. So, yeah, one of them does some personal growth. The other joins a cult-ish, that's all I can say. And, yeah, I'm really aware of the age of the guru, of the public speaker, of the Buddhas that some people look to and follow religiously. And there's so much information now. I mean, I don't really think we had very much information. So I think, wow, I was so gullible. I was so naive, but then I was 19 or I was 18. So as a 60-year-old now, I'm writing about my experiences over 40 years ago. So it's a great joy, and I think there's a therapeutic gain in looking back and joining the dots of your own life. I would recommend all of us doing that at some point. It just helps, I think, to understand where we've been. And I actually had a really good time writing these episodes, directing the actors on it, because it was my experience and they felt that. So they wanted to, you know, honour that, the silliness as well as the seriousness of it.
Now, David, you touched on this a little bit earlier, and that was that, you know, we've all got our stories, we've all got experiences of being part of the queer community as such. Now, if someone is in their, say, early 20s and they're tuning in on Sunday to Friends of Dorothy, which of course season two starting this Sunday here on Joy 94.9. I suppose how will they fit into the story itself, and will they be able to identify with many of the experiences, even though some of them are specific to the 80s, like the HIV experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably there'll be humour that I didn't intend when particularly it comes to the dating episodes, as well as the personal growth stuff, because we took so many risks in the 80s and the 70s that I don't know that, thankfully, organisations and, groups and, experiences that you can go and be part of. There's so much more safety, which is fantastic, that people are looked after. We were really naive, and so were the people that were involved in a lot of these organizations. Mm. So, yeah, I think a young person looking at this will go, what the? I nearly said the F word. Sorry. Can't say that at 4 PM. People will either go, oh, wow, okay. We've either come a long way or we haven't come very far at all. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to create this show and have it broadcast, was for other queer folk to go, wow, nothing's changed, or everything's changed, and they decide.
Exactly. Now, if someone's missed season one, David, or the lead up to it, what's the best way to jump in before Sunday night's launch of season two?
You just asked the best questions, Warren.
thank you.
Our website. Thank you. Our website, which is friendsofdorothy.in, that's I-N, so friendsofdorothy, all one word, and then .in is the website. And all they need to do is click on the word listen, and it'll take them straight through to the host platform where all the podcasts, right back to first episode, are there from the first series as well. So they can catch up, they can binge, if it's a wet weekend or a slow weekend or
David, I can't wait for Sunday, Friends of Dorothy, season two here on Joy 94.9. Is it 10 p.m. still?
10 p.m., indeed.
10 p.m. I'm looking forward to it. I love, Sunday night radio. I remember here in Melbourne, there was a show, I think it was on 3AW at the time, and I was a teenager, and it was all about old radio and old radio ads. I think it was called Remember When or something. I used to tune in bed. Sunday night. And I'm really excited about doing that again. Like, even though we can podcast things, lying in bed, getting the radio out and listening to something here on Joy on Sunday, I can't wait.
Look, again, this is a generation thing, but, when we would, I would be young and want to listen to something that I shouldn't have, I'd have this big bulky radio and I'd hide it under the blanket so that my parents wouldn't catch me. We didn't even have, headphones at that point. It was just like, that's how old I am.
There was a sex show. Headphones.
Yeah, well, it was just sort of cheeky, provocative, content. And that's how, I guess, a lot of us found out about the world.
Exactly.
In those ways.
Exactly. David, great to chat with you. All the best for Sunday. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Warren. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Friends of Dorothy, Season 2, Sunday, 10 p.m. here on Joy 94.9. That is David Rector.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.